Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Good morning, Beth Ann.
Good morning, Chris.
Amazes me that there are still discoveries to be made under the surface of the ocean.
You know, I think that amazes a lot of people because when you just, you know, look out and you're looking at the ocean, the thought that there could be a great deal under there maybe might percolate. But yeah, when you actually see some of it, as we saw yesterday, it's quite amazing. Now, this week, Hawaii has been revisiting a history that abruptly veered into war with the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And as part of the commemoration, submersibles have been exploring what's left of the ship sunk during the attack. And yesterday, of two Japanese mini-submarines that were part of it. One still has the bodies of its two crew members inside. NOAA maritime archaeologist and historian Hans von Tilburg was part of the exploration team. He joins us now in our studio. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
It was amazing to be watching that yesterday, although we couldn't see it, obviously, in real time. We got to see it a little bit later. But knowing that one of those subs was of starting to decay and that parts of it were now, you know, broken compared to what you saw even 2 years ago, seemed to put a little bit more emphasis on why it's important for us to be able to capture what we know of the history that's lying beneath the ocean. Is that why you felt especially important for it to be done now?
That's right. These are very historically important sites. They remind us of an event that changed the islands, certainly changed the Pacific, changed our country. And so we've been monitoring the status of the mini-subs over time, and like everything in the ocean, they reach a certain age and begin to deteriorate further where the subs actually open up and we can see more of the history inside.
They're small, so would you say that because of their size, the advancing age of all of its components would be more prone to aging more quickly?
Well, I think their size might even help them. I mean, originally they're just a tube of steel, and so that's fairly strong underwater, but they've been balanced on a high point beneath the midsection of the hull, meaning the bow and the stern are overhanging scours, and the weight eventually has broken the stern and bow off of the sub that was sunk by USS Ward on December 7th.
So that made it more prone to aging in that way?
Exactly.
Which is very different than what we've seen, say, with the Arizona and some of the submersibles that have gone into the below decks where there isn't a lot of oxygen, not a lot of growth, and it seems like it has just, you know, stopped in time, aside from being underwater.
Right, right. The processes of deterioration over time is site-dependent, environment-dependent. And in those cases where there's less oxygen in interior spaces, you get excellent preservation of historic artifacts. And you can peer back in time then, like looking through a window back 70, 75 years.
When you were around the sub with the bodies of the two young Japanese crew members inside of it, that must have been a very distinct feeling of not only being part of an exploration of history, but also being at a gravesite.
You're right. You know, reconciliation is an important lesson from World War II, and we're as respectful to these sites as we are to our own in Pearl Harbor and elsewhere. And so we actually have protocols in place for surveys like this in the Pacific where if we encounter human remains, we don't broadcast images of those things live over the internet, although the rest, you know, we can share with the public.
So presumably from what you've just said, that means you saw some of those remains yesterday, but
no,
that was not broadcast?
No, we haven't seen any human remains in this sub, and it's not necessarily something we're pursuing that angle.
From this point forward, what happens with the subs that are there that you've been documenting? Will there be another foray down to be able to capture whatever has happened in the next couple of years?
Well, you know, as projects come and go, and as our work with University of Hawaii and the Undersea Research Lab and with the Office of Exploration and Research for NOAA focuses on various studies, we have over time monitored every couple of years, gone back to those sites. And now that the cylinder is beginning to be opened up and oxygen is introduced into the interior of the subs, there may be more history and even artifacts that can be preserved from those sites for a future.
So are you saying that potentially we might see some of these artifacts brought up and kept in a museum?
That's a possibility. As the subs deteriorate over time, there may be things we can save.
Would that also, or what does that mean for the bodies that would be there too?
Well, that would be a conversation we would have with the Japanese consulate and the Japanese government, and we'd be very reverential about, you know, any plans of possible recovery or leaving them in situ.
Because if you're talking about this thing potentially breaking up, what may happen once it starts to really break up? No one really
exactly.
knows.
Exactly.
That's
a concern, and that's a reason for monitoring these particular mini-subs over time.
As you are going to be monitoring this, what's next on the horizon for you as there is clearly so much more history under the surface?
Well, you know, these two subs are a very critical part of the events that started immense changes in the territory of Hawaii. But then there were years and years of intensive training and activity among the islands. All of the amphibious exercises and the aircraft overhead, the islands are actually surrounded by sites like this. And some of those are even war graves. So we're completing an inventory of what is known about all of those types of resources, not just for the history and the archaeology, but what that means for the marine environment and what it means to have large ships and aircraft and these types of sites deteriorate underwater.
From what you just said, can we infer that there's also, there could possibly be torpedoes still there too?
Unfortunately, it's part of our legacy that there is unexploded ordnance in the oceans, and it's a real concern for us to understand how that falls apart over time.
Do we know much about that, including what may be on one of the subs that you saw yesterday?
The sub that we viewed that was sunk by the USS Ward does have two torpedoes in the bow, and that's a concern for any proposal that would be impacting that site. We don't really know if those are live, you know. I mean, over time, theoretically, there's incursion of the seawater, and they become inert, theoretically. But nonetheless, we're very careful with what we do on a site like that where there are munitions.
For people who hear that and think, wait a minute, you know, could we be out there and potentially be witness to something potentially exploding? I hear you say, well, we don't know what we don't know, but there's this theory that says it's not going to happen. And one of the reasons why we're mapping it more, we've seen what has happened with ordnance elsewhere. And is there truly a plan to be able to recover some of that, or just to simply monitor it? Or what would you tell people about the ordnance that we know is unexploded?
Well, actually, there have been studies in the past, and some of them carried out by the University of Hawaii and Undersea Research Lab to understand the extent and distribution of unexploded ordnance south of this island of Oahu. And so in proposals for further marine science in this area, and in fact one I've been working on now, we include the concern of the ordnance and our ability to, if we're out there looking for other things, also note where we find things like that and add that to our understanding of how much is out there.
And what maybe could or could not be cleaned up. Thank you so much for coming in. Good to talk to you.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Bethann.
Hans von Tilburg is a maritime archaeologist and historian with NOAA's Office of National Marine Sanctuaries. We posted a video of the dive from yesterday on our Facebook page, Hawaii Conversation.